As we continue through our studies in the book of Luke, let's go to Luke chapter 8, please. Luke chapter 8. We've been considering the parable of the sower, and I want to focus this morning on the first one. The scripture's called the wayside hearer. Chapter 8, verse 5. And the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Now Jesus tells us what that means. Look it down in verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. When I was in high school, I had a job helping out in the Future Farmers of America. One of the men was cultivating the corn. And I was following behind there with a bag of ryegrass and would grind it and spread the ryegrass all over in that freshly turned soil. And what that ryegrass would do as it would grow would keep the other grass and the weeds down. And some of that fell on the freshly turned soil. But then some fell on the hard impacted soil like along the roadway. And in fact, the seed disappeared. It became a meal for hungry birds. It was just as if the seed was never sown. Everyone knows it's impossible for a seed to germinate on a roadway on hard impacted soil. It's only natural for those seeds to be eaten up by hungry birds. The Lord Jesus, during his earthly ministry, was a master teacher. On many occasions, he would use illustrations from everyday life to teach profound spiritual lessons. So it's while he, in the parable of the sower, contained the text that I just read in your hearing. Our Lord draws out from a common everyday life situation of a man sowing seed. The seed fell on four different kinds of soil. Three were in a condition which was detrimental to the full growth of that soil. The wayside, the rocky side, and the rocky soil and the thorn bush. He then draws out spiritual lessons to be learned. Every time the word of God is proclaimed, it is heard by those whose hearts are in one of the four conditions set forth in our parable. And this morning I want to focus on the first one that our Lord mentions. It's called the wayside hearer. The outline's a simple one. I want to look at all, first of all, the facts in relation to the wayside hearer. Notice verse 5. The sower went out to sow seed, and some fell on the wayside. That was the hard impacted soil. In fact, if you go back to Luke chapter 6, you might remember that when Jesus and his disciples were walking through the grain field and eating some of the grain. So there were footpaths through these fields, through these grain fields that were hard and impacted. And that's what that's the wayside here. Notice also in verse 5, the response of the wayside here, it was trodden down. It was trodden down. Up in verse 5. And the sower went out to sow the seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trampled down. Because it's laying there on that hard impacted earth, it's tramped upon. It only makes it even worse. Notice the consequences in the end of verse 5. And the birds of the air devoured, and it became just as a seed was never sown. Now let's look at the interpretation of this wayside here. First of all, there's a lack of spiritual insight. Go over to Matthew 13 because you have it in Matthew 13 and Mark 4, you have the same parable. Each one gives us a little more insight. Matthew 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. So they didn't understand it. And that's natural. For the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But it seems to be greatly augmented here in the wayside here. Notice the attack of the enemy in verse 12, back at Luke. Then the devil comes and takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Again, in Matthew 13, you don't have to turn there. It says in verse 4, some fell so by the wayside that birds came and devoured them. Then in verse 19, it says, when anyone hears the word of the king and understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown. And in Mark 4, verse 4, it happened that he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. The wayside hearer hears the word of God, but doesn't understand it. Satan uses what appears to be natural means and snatches the seed that was sown in the heart. Satan's one great desire is to damn men and women to hell. The devil comes and takes away the seed that was sown in the heart. Look at verse 12. Lest they should believe and be saved. The devil takes no chances. Even though the heart is hard as impacted soil, even though they did not understand what they hear, even though the seed is trampled on, making it even more resistant to the word of God, the devil sends his birds and snatches the seed from the heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Notice how zealous the devil is. We may be careless about the souls of men and women, but he never is. Although the seed lay there on the surface and had never penetrated the soil, although the seed had been trodden on, Satan was not satisfied. He said there may be life in it. And if there is, it is a dangerous thing for it to be laying there, for it may grow. So he comes and takes it away, and the birds of the air devour it. But if you do hear the gospel, even though it does not penetrate into the heart, yet he still does not like it to be there. So he comes and takes it away. He makes you forget it, and we'll get into that in just a moment. He does not like losing one of his servants. And from long experience, he knows that every once in a while, one of them will run away in the night. So he's always on the watch for would-be runaways. He does not want you to be gone, so he causes birds of the air and says to them, take away that seed. The man has not received it into his heart, but I do not like it to even be near him. He snatches it away. Notice some observations. This is obvious. This is the most hostile of all the hearts towards the Word of God. Of all the soils, the wayside here is the most resistant to the Word of God. The heart is hard and resistant to the truth of God's Word. Ground is hard to receive the Word. It's trampled on, and then you have the presence of the bird snatching it away. What is not understood will always be rejected. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Think about that. When a person hears the word of God, they've got this hard, impacted heart. It's foolishness to them. Those who have heard the word did not understand it. We are told that if you touch the heart, Spurgeon says this, that is everything, but it's not. To touch the heart is something, but you must always touch the understanding if you are to an effective change. I mean that you may get people together and get them all excited and work them up in a way you please, for some people are easily moved, but they must understand what it all means. It's not enough to say, believe, believe, believe. Teach them what they must believe, or else what good have you done? Shouting, stomping, trawling, crying does not amount to much. Those are the words of Spurgeon. I'll continue that. People need to be taught to understand the truth of God. They are gripped to really know the meaning of what they hear. They must know they are lost. They must know that Christ is the great substitute for sinners. They must know what the new birth means. Otherwise, if the truth is not received into the understanding, the mere receiving it into the emotions, we have little use. These hearers understood not the word, so Satan stole it away from them. Notice that all the while the good seed did get into the understanding. We see that later on. Thirdly, this is interesting. Satan is present wherever the word of God is proclaimed. Satan is present wherever the word of God is preached. When God's word is proclaimed, Spurgeon says, cosmic battles break out. Look at verse 12. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart. Notice the punctuality of the devil. In Mark 14, it says, Satan comes immediately. Soon as the word is sown on that hard soil, Satan comes immediately and snatches the word out of their heart. Secondly, notice his power. He takes the word out of their heart. It does not say that he tries to do it, but he actually does it. He sees, he comes, and he conquers. The word is there, and the devil takes it away as easily as a bird removes seed from the soil. Third is the devil's purpose. He knows that believing is that which is essential of being saved. He's a sound theologian that knows that salvation by believing the Lord Jesus, and there he fears all these things lest men should believe and be saved. The substance of the gospel lies in those words, believe and be saved. He is not so much afraid of our good works. If he can lead men to work or to feel to do anything in the place of believing, he's content. But it's believing that he dreads, because God has coupled that with being saved. One of Satan's greatest weapons is the ability to destroy the effect of God's word without revealing that he's behind it all. The birds that snatch away the seed seem to be natural circumstances. Let me set forth what some of those birds are, and they're flocking around here this morning. One of the things when you preach, you can look at people's faces and you know they're not even here this morning. They're out in left field somewhere. That's one of those birds. So that you think you're hiding, you think you're safe, you can read faces when you're up here preaching. And I got a list of names and I'll call out in about 5 minutes. No, I won't do that. The birds of a lethargic spirit. Do you ever notice how easy it is to sort of doze off while you're listening to a sermon? And yet if you're reading a book or watching the TV, your mind is sharp and clear. That's one of those birds. The birds of distraction. A baby cries. People walk in and walk out when everybody's looking. I do it too. You want, not so much here, but in the other churches, the rain on the roof, you'd hear it. And everybody look up. I never figured, what do they expect to see? And then they turn around and look at each other, nod their heads. Yeah, it's really raining, it's really raining. And then birds. I remember going out with a young man in the other church. We used to go out on evangelism. We'd follow up on the new visitors. And we went to this house with this young couple. They had two or three little kids. And we sat down with the mother and father and were giving them the gospel. And they were very interested. And just as we got to the point where when they challenged them to call on the Lord for salvation, the two kids come running into the living room. One jumps on the father's lap. One jumps on the mother's lap. Ah! Rubbing their hair, carry on like crazy people. And I can't believe I said this. I said, get those kids out of here and get them up to bed. So they did. And I said to this young man with me, I said, have you ever noticed anything as we've been out here trying to share the gospel? Is there one common denominator that you notice every time? He says, yeah. He said, what? Every time we get to the point of challenging to receive Christ, the phone will ring, the dog goes crazy, and just like you saw tonight, the kids went crazy. Those are the birds of distraction. The bird of wandering thoughts. It's easy when you're listening to a sermon for your mind to wander all over about things. I have to be careful. I keep wandering about my little fifth little great-granddaughter. I can't wait to see her, but I'm preaching, so I can't do that. Here's one, and we're all guilty of this, the birds of idle talk. We all need to be careful about our conversation after listening to a sermon. For the most part, our conversation after a worship service has little to do with what they just heard. Oh, that's a nice dress. Oh, beautiful the weather today. How was your vacation? Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? Did you hear what so-and-so said? A few harmless jokes and that seed is snatched away. We never realize that God may be dealing with someone, maybe someone under conviction. All we need to do is gauge them in idle conversation, and that seed is snatched away. All these things seem normal and natural, but Jesus says behind it all is the enemy of our souls to snatch away the seed from the word. For the believer, unbeliever, so they should not believe and be saved. For the believer, they are robbed of a blessing. Nowhere does Satan labor so hard to stop the progress of that which is good and to prevent men and women from being saved. Again, here's a quote from Spurgeon. From him come wandering thoughts, roving imaginations, listless minds, dull memories, sleepy eyes, and fidgety nerves, weary ears, and distracted attention. In all these things, Satan has a great hand. People wonder where they come from and marvel how it is that the sermons are so dull and they remember them so badly. They forget the parable of the sower. They forget the devil. Let me make a couple of lines of application. These people, the wayside hearer, are unresponsive to God's word. Nothing penetrates the surface of their heart and convinces them of the need for a life-changing personal relationship with God. These folks may attend church or hang around Christians, but because they are hardened to the truth, the adversary picks off whatever morsels of the gospel is in their mind, they remain unrepentant and unsaved. Fortunately, the Lord is very patient and long-suffering with people, giving them a long time to choose and repent and receive unto the Lord. People who were once wayside hearers, sometimes God changes the condition of their heart. He sends down the plowshares into that hard soil, and it becomes, as it says about the good ground, a noble and good heart. They embrace the truth of the gospel and become saved. So if you have relatives, children, where the gospel bounces off of them like buckshot off of the back of a crocodile. Don't give up. Keep praying. God may open their heart before they pass away. I've had, Jan and I were talking, how many times I've had experience with those who were on their deathbed. I remember a friend of mine, her father was in a coma. And I heard that sometimes when you're in a coma, you can hear what people are saying. So I visited him in the hospital, and I took his hand, and I called him by name, and I said, if you can hear me, squeeze my hand, and he did. And I knew he heard the gospel, and I took him through the gospel. And I said, do you believe, and I don't remember all what I said, but I said, if you call on the Lord to save you, squeeze my hand, and he did. Now here was a man who was resistant to the gospel for many years. Gary Weston's father. Remember Gary in the hospital when he was dying? He was resistant to the truth right up until the end. And then he finally said, yelled out that he called on the name of the Lord to save him. Mary Keeley, Mike's wife, she was very resistant to the gospel. We were over there one time, Tom. Well, she always said she was saved, but there was no evidence of it. And before Tom and I went over to visit her on a Sunday afternoon, and we got nowhere with her. So then I went over a couple of days later, and I was just about ready to leave, and she had her arm up in the air. And Melissa, her daughter, said, Mom, did you want to talk to Pastor Tom? And she said, yes. So I went over to her, and she whispered to me, Pastor Tom, I love you, and I love your congregation. She has never said she loved me, never. I said, Mary, do you want to call on the name of the Lord? And she said, yes, I do. And she lay in her bed just days before she died. She cried out to the Lord to save her. See, the Lord plowed up that hard and packed soil. And we believe that Mary now is in the presence of the Lord. Carol Fox's mother. Carol and Tom were down in Florida, and she called me up. She says, well, could you go visit my mom? I don't think she has long to live. Now, I don't remember all the words. But I went to see her, and I took her right through the whole gospel. And she said to me, Pastor Tom, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. So I just let it go. But then I felt led to go back to see her the next day. And I sat down with her, and she said, Pastor Tom, I'm ready. And I took her through. I said, do you believe that Jesus is God? Do you believe that you're a sinner? Do you believe that he'll save you if you call upon him? She says, yes, I do. And she called on the Lord to save her. But she resisted it for all those years. But praise God that sometimes, even though you have that hard impacted soil, God in his grace will sometimes plow up that soil just before they pass in this earth. To the believer, there's application. Keep short accounts with the Lord. If we allow sin to go unconfessed in our hearts become hard and unreceptive to the Word of God. We should all spend time preparing our hearts for worship. Spend time reading God's Word in prayer before you come to church. You don't have to sit down and read. Just spend some time to ask the Lord to plow up the resistance in your heart. Purge out any and all things that make the heart less sensitive to the preaching of God's Word. If you have small children, spend time Saturday night asking the Lord to suppress all the irritating antics of your children on Sunday morning. We found that out when our kids were little. Every Sunday morning, there was something. and it would get everybody all upset. And you're going to church, I felt like a junkyard dog, you're as carnal as a goat. And I said to her, you know, honey, did you notice this? Every Sunday morning, this isn't normal. This isn't just happenstance. We need to pray, and we would. We'd pray every Saturday night, Lord, keep the devil from creating havoc so that we're distracted from the Word of God. It's easy to forget what you've heard. I had an uncle. He was great about doing this. People would say, boy, did I hear a great message this morning. It was the greatest sermon I ever heard preached. And he'd always ask one question. What did he preach on? Well, I don't remember, but boy, it was really good. You see, the birds come and snatch that seed away. Let's prepare our hearts before we come to church so that our hearts are receptive to the Word of God. Let's bow in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the insight that the Lord Jesus gives us. Without the parable of the sower, we would never know those four conditions that exist in the hearts of men and women when they come to hear the Word of God. Thank you for the truth. Thank you that we can understand these things. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for those that we've had privilege to lead to the Lord on their very deathbed. Spirit of God, thank you for rescuing them from the hands of the devil just before they died. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.